Get us excited or woods with.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Of this passage, most of the quote we like the 10:10 so often, they come not but to steal and to kill and destroy, but I am came that you might have life and have it more abundant. And as we look this morning and in this passage just before in chapter 9, Jesus has healed a blind man. In this passage, and the folks that heaven forbid he did it on the Sabbath, and they got all up in the air about it. Those folks must have been free will Baptists. They said, "Jesus, we've never done it this way before. We've never had anybody healed on a Saturday before, and you can't be right because you did." You went against what Grandma and Grandpa said. Amen. You went against everything that tradition has taught us. You go against everything that we've been taught as a young kid. Amen. And Jesus healed this man, and I love this guy. They came, and they throwed a fit, and they said Jesus was a sinner, and they went to this guy, and they said, "Tell us what happened." He said, "You didn't believe me the first time I told you. You ain't going to believe me this time." But he told them, they said, "What happened?" And he said, "Well, they didn't even believe him. They had to go to his mom and daddy and say, 'Is this guy really?'" They said, "Yeah." So Jesus healed him. And they said, "This man's a sinner." And I love his statement. And this is old redneck talk off the river. He said, "I don't know if he's a sinner or not. But all I know, I used to be blind, and now I can see." You make, whoo, glory, hallelujah. You make any kind of judge you want to make about it, but all I know is I had a life-changing experience with this man, and I am no longer, I can now see, I can now function the way that I ought to. Leading up to this, and it, the way it looks and it, and all of the language and everything, he just carries right in to this parable then. And he said, and this is what has happened in chapter 9. The parents were scared. They said, well, he's of age. You ask him. But yeah, he was what? They kicked him out of the synagogue. Catches him off to himself, and Jesus comes up and he says, do you believe the Son of Man? He said, if I know who he is, and he said, it's the one that talks to you right now. And he said, I believe in
you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. See, you may be able to take the Bible and get me confused. I mean, I've studied, I've read it, but I know the theologian. I don't know it like a lot of people does. Like these preachers, I won't preach through Saturday, they know it like the back of the hand. But I can tell you something that you'll never take away from me. What Jesus has done in my life. Well, I tell you, glory, hallelujah. There's the difference. There's this two guys, they had quoted a psalm, Psalm 23. They had this orator, and he got up and he quoted this psalm, and they had a rolling in the eye. So Jerry Pryor said that he'd shut it right on down the top. And he had a rolling in the eyes, and they applauded and made this worthwhile. Well, they had an older guy that come in behind him and quoted the exact same psalm. And as he quoted this psalm, there was quiet in the crowd. And then when he got done, there was not a noise heard except people coming to God in prayer. In prayer and adoration to the Lord. The first guy that got up, the orator got up, and he said, I have to make a confession this morning. He said, my friend that come behind me, my elderly friend, he said, I know the song, but he knows the shepherd. And this morning, as we get into this passage, and I want to look at it's known the shepherd. You may have, you know, folks may have all of the things and a Christian 101 down pat and all the terminology down and can say and that don't matter. It's how do we know the shepherd? What is the relationship with the shepherd? And there was all the difference in the world in those two guys up speaking in front of this crowd. If you would stand with me. I preached you a mini sermon before I even got started. That don't cost you nothing. Chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before... back up right there. I want you to get me. And when he putteth forth his own sheep... Now, you know I don't never do this. Why don't you look the person closest to you and say, I'm his. I'm his. You know, he's his own. The Holy Ghost just hit me right then. I've studied and looked at this. His own. See, he owns us. He's not just somebody that's come in and it's getting paid a little bit of money to take care of us. We're his flock. Glory, hallelujah. His own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear me. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that you may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth them. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, as Americans, and whatever nationality we are today, British, right here, all to send us into order. I want to share this verse 16 with you. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Amen. He'd been talking to the nation of Israel. Right here he's talking to us. Amen. This is us. Amen. I'm glad of that today. I'm glad we're part of that big fold. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for all your mercy and grace. God, anoint your preacher, Lord, to help us as we study this passage. Lord, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I apologize this morning. I'll probably be hacking this off of me. Blowing the nose and making awful sounds. I apologize. Bear with me. But I want to, this passage, and the first thing that I want to start with a question. And I want you to, I'm not asking this morning, have I ever made a decision? Have I ever made a profession? Have I ever become a member of a church? I'm going to ask you, do you really know the shepherd? How well do you know him? Now, I know of the President of the United States, but I don't know him. I doubt Barry Sisley would take my phone call. He definitely wasn't going to hear the advice I'd give him, but anyway. We'll leave that alone. But I know of him, but I don't know him. I know wrong. I know a favorite color, I know a favorite car, I know a favorite food, I know a favorite drink. I'm better anyway. She's out of here already. She's away from that. So I don't know her favorite name. There's a difference in a knowing about somebody and knowing somebody. And I'm afraid a lot of people knows about Jesus, knows who Jesus is. Knows what Jesus came to do. It's even it's called upon him, but don't really know him. And don't really in communion and really know him like that we ought to know the shepherd. And this morning I want to start out with that question, but I want to look at some things about us really knowing the shepherd. See, he possesses and he has some qualities of things that qualify him to be the good shepherd. Now, the passage is for the good shepherd in the title. But he's got some qualifications that says he is the good shepherd. This is just not a statement that he stood up and said, I'm the good shepherd. See, I carry in my billfold that I have got I've got an ordination paper at the house, and I've got a license in my pocket that says I'm an ordained Free Will Baptist ministry of the Appalachian Association. That is my credentials. I can tell you I'm a preacher, and after you hear me preach, you need some reassurance that I really am a preacher. I know. But I've got an ordination paper, and I've got a license that says that I'm an ordained Free Will Baptist ministry. When Jesus is going here, we're going to go through a list here in a minute. is who he says that he is. That it's proof to back up. They say, the old saying, the proof is in the pudding. This is the proof in the pudding. See, the first thing that I see is he has the credentials. He has the right credentials. See, first of all, he came properly. He came as he was supposed to. In the sheepfold was a circular wall that was most time about 10 foot high. And it was most of the time a round, or it would just have like two or three sides. It was not. But it was round, and there was one door in. One way in and one way out. That's all. There was no back door, there was no windows, there was none. It was one wall. And in this sheepfold, and Jesus says here, anybody that ever tried to get into that fold any other way than through the door is the same as the thief and the robber. The only sheep that was in there was sheep that was put in there by different shepherds. They would bring multiple flocks and put in this, and one shepherd or a hired porter would stand at the door, and no one else could go in or out except the shepherd. Jesus said, I am that shepherd. Israel, you cannot go to heaven except by me. Gentiles, you cannot go to heaven except by me. You publicans, anybody, I am the shepherd. This was a statement. This is what Jesus is saying here in this passage. And if we are holding to anything else other than Jesus Christ, if we are banking on getting to heaven because we live good, we're sadly mistaken. If we're banking on getting to heaven because grandma and grandpa took me to church and I sat with them and my grandma laid her hand on me and prayed, that won't get you to heaven. And Jesus is saying here that it don't matter anything else other than putting your tithes in an offering plate will not take you to heaven. Well, preacher, you don't know how much I get. It don't matter.
Amen.
Money won't do it. Well, I've done it. It don't matter. There's going to be people standing one day in front of Almighty God and say, I've done this, I've done that. I went to service here. I was the altar boy. I received the offering at church. I taught Sunday school class. I was a deacon of that church. I mean, I was a trustee. I pastored 10 churches. What do you mean? It don't matter. It's what we've done with the shepherd. The relationship that we have with the shepherd. And see, nothing could get in and out of that fold except going through that shepherd. And going through that door. And Jesus said, I am the door. Here is where a lot of people has a problem with Christianity. They say we're there now. They say that we're caught up in it's so too narrow. It is narrow. Because all of eternity and all of the universe, John said in Revelation chapter 5, that they looked and not one was found worthy to open the books to buy back the title deed of the world. Man let Satan snooker us out. You ever been shamed in a deal? We got shamed. Mankind got shamed. The devil just snookered right in and just bought the title deed of the world back in $100. And nobody in the whole universe was found worthy. John was torn all to pieces. And then he said, don't worry. He said, don't worry. He said, I'm worthy, and I'll take the blood. never change. It's all about Jesus. I heard something this morning in Sunday school class, and I hate to even mention it. But they said somebody's wife, a preacher's wife, stood up and they've seen it on television. Two different ones heard it. And said it ain't about God, it's about you. They ain't reading the different book, not really. It ain't got nothing to do with it. Only thing that my righteousness filled the God is in the sight of God. That anything about me is down and out and pitiful and horrible. And it ain't about my well-being. It's about God's will and what He has got in the lives of each one of us and what He's got in the lives of the people in their church and in the leaders of our church. It's about doing His will. What He wants done. Where we get messed up, we get our own agendas. And we get thinking about it is about us. You just quieten up a little bit then. It ain't about the preacher. It ain't about the soul leader. I'm sorry, Derek. It ain't about you. It ain't about anybody in the church. Jesus came and gave His life for mankind. And to save all the world that was lost. Again, I don't know why I keep going back, but I run across something in the debate again about predestination. I believe in predestination as the foreknowledge of God that it's predetermined. He knows the outcome of everything. I do not believe for a minute that He has sat down and He said, okay, Sister Donna's in, Brother Jim's out. And there ain't nothing any one of them can do about it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God for a whosoever. And it ain't nothing that's ordained to me. It ain't a disease, an alcoholic, an addiction, or anything that is described to me. It ain't set down from God and placed upon me. It's my free will, my choice, and I can get over it and kick the habit if I go to the Lord in prayer.
Amen. Amen.
This nonsense that, they're a sick, they got a disease, and this and that, that's hogwash right out of the pits of hell. If you got a problem and you want the answer, I'm telling you, the Good Shepherd is the one to go to. The door of the sheepfold is the one to go through. My goodness, it'll take me a month to preach this message. See, Jesus proves that He is the Shepherd. By His credentials, the first one, that He'd been born of a virgin. In Isaiah 7:14, the Bible says, behold, a virgin shall conceive. In Matthew, it talks about the virgin, Matthew 1. Behold, a virgin brought forth her firstborn child and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. We've gone through the Christmas season, but one of His credentials, He's born of a virgin. Anybody in here can raise, slip up your hand and say, preacher, I am too. He's the only one. The only person in the world to ever be able to meet that condition. He's born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 says, but thou Bethlehem Ephrathah. He met that convention. Said you'll find it in the city of David, the Savior, which is Christ the King. Christ the Lord. He's born in Bethlehem. He'd come in the fullness of time. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son and made of a woman made under the law. He came under the law to fulfill the law so that I don't have to.
Amen.
could trust in him. He followed every jot, every tittle, every bit of the law, and completed the law. He is the only one that could ever live a holy, perfect life. He who knew no sin became sin that I might know the righteousness of God. Praise the Holy Lamb of God. He'd been brought out of Egypt. Hosea 11:1 says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. The Bible, we go over this passage sometimes in Christmas, and we're going through it and we don't think nothing about it. But he called him, sent him in to Joseph to take him to Egypt. And then he called him out. Part of his credentials. His arrival provoked the rage of the enemy. All kids 2 years and under was killed. Jeremiah 31:15, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Bible prophecy, Jesus fulfilled. He is the shepherd. You might say, preacher, you're really driving this home. And we know all that. We do, most of us, know it and believe it. But I'm telling you, we're getting to be in the minority.
Amen.
And I need to encourage you. And you need to encourage your children. Because I'm telling you, they're going to get, especially if they go to college, they're going to sit under professors that is atheist and agnostic. And if they snub their nose right in the air to God, and they will make a spectacle out of your child in front of the class to belittle them to denounce the name of Jesus Christ. That's what your young people's going to do when they go to college. We need to encourage them. We need to lift them up. We need to let them know that there is no other name other than Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And that without him, it will be eternity in hell, complete separation of God with torment and suffering, where the Bible says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We have got to let our people know, and our families and the folks around us, that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. See, I'm so afraid as Christians in a lot of churches, we get caught up in our agendas and we forget the message. The message is Jesus came to save the lost. He gave everything that he had, every drop of blood for us. Is the right person born in the right place, arrived at the right time, summoned from the right country, and attended by the right sign? He possesses all the credentials to be the Messiah, to be the shepherd, the door. And not only that, Luke 4:18, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Prophesied in Isaiah, Jesus readied and stood up in chapter 4 of the book of Luke, and he read off his credentials, and he closed the book, and he sat down, and he said, today this prophecy has been fulfilled. And not only that, John the the Baptist, the porter that opened the door and into the sheepfold. He said, behold, in John chapter 1, I think verse 29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He introduced Jesus to the nation of Israel. He introduced Jesus to the world as the only means of salvation, the only way that they ever get to heaven, the only way that they ever get peace, and the only way that you ever kick an addiction, the only way that you can ever overcome a trouble and a hardship. It's through the name and the person, Jesus Christ. You might say, preacher, that's all you preach. I will know. Amen. If I preach anything else, that didn't save me. If I preach Bible's gospel, that didn't save me. That didn't buy my soul out of hell. Jesus is the only one that's done it. Jesus is the only answer. He's the only thing that I can claim in this morning. I can't brag about nothing. I'm just an old redneck boy raised up on the river, rough as a cob. But Jesus is all in all. He cut an old snotty nose, long haired redneck boy, and made a preacher of the gospel. Woo! I'm going to brag on him a little bit. What's he's done? You might say, preacher, I've never done all this stuff. I say, praise the Lord. But you went to the same hell I saw.
That's right. Amen.
That's what's so bad about it, isn't it? To be in the same hell. He came properly. And he calls properly. In this sheepfold was many flocks. And they say that the shepherd would walk to the sheepfold, to the door, the only one door in, and he would call in, and whatever something. Most of y'all, how many's ever raised cattle? Most of us, when you come out, after a while, when you come out of the barn with the feed bucket, they'll know what's happening, and they'll start getting that way. But there's different signs, different things. My dad, you say one word, another. And I say, sucker! Right, Frank? Frank's got a word he says. They'll run over. You better not get between them and that feed bucket. When that shepherd would go, he'd call whatever his word was. His sheep would get in line and walk right out of that sheepfold and call him down. They knew that food, pleasant, pasture, and good cool bread was ahead. The Lord is our shepherd. He makes me lie down in the pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. They knew where the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am that shepherd. I've heard a story of a man that lived in Australia. He was arrested. And he was accused for stealing sheep. And when they arrested him, he said, I didn't steal this sheep. He said, this was one of mine. It's been gone for some time, and I have finally found him. And he answered, he's mine. He went to court, and they tried him for stealing sheep. And he claimed the whole time. He said, that's my sheep. He's mine. And the judge, when he came, the one that was accusing him, he said, okay, you go stand out in the foyer of the door. Bring the sheep in. He said, then I'll call you sheep. And that guy called, and that lamb just kind of looked up and got nervous looking and looked around and went and laid his head back down. The other guy that's been accused of stealing sheep, he said, you go out in the court. He went out and made his call, and the lamb told his head up and went out there and fly right to the sheep.
See, we hear the world is full of a lot of different things and different voices. You can turn on that television and in the name of religion and hear some of the far out of stuff that you may be. You can listen to politicians speak. You can listen to all of the media and the pundits talking about it. You can listen to everything in the world, but I'm gonna tell you, be looking for that voice of the shepherd. Jesus said, unless the Father's Spirit drop you, then the Father's dead. That wound, that speaking of the Holy Ghost is the most important thing that you'll ever do. And being obedient to that leading. See, Jesus will lead us in a way. Let me share something with you. Lord, just say this on my heart. If a spirit or something comes over you and it says, you're a lousy liar. You're awful lousy to your family. Or you're a lousy husband. You just good for nothing. You're a lousy child. When I hear you, we hear all of these voices, and all of these things coming. That's not God. I'm going to share with you right now. God does not talk like that. If God's telling me about something that I've had to control, you know what he's going to say? Here's what y'all do. And on your way home, you need to stop and get her some money. And when you go in, apologize for the way you talk to her. And ask her to do it. Now there's our Holy Spirit. There's the voice of God when he speaks. He said, Jesus said, and I heard a preacher say this one time, and I said, I'm not too sure he knows what I'm talking. He said, all these people shout, Holy Ghost, don't know what they're talking about. I'm gonna stay away from that. I got to think, I got to dig it in Scripture. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will remind you of everything I said. He's not going to talk about himself. He's going to talk about me. And Jesus is saying, and when the Holy Spirit deals with your heart, it's in one that confirmed by the Word of God. I ain't saying no word of God says you're right there. Amen. That's condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. That's what the shepherd does. That's what the spirit of the shepherd does. And that's the leading. And do we know his voice? See, I'm afraid that we don't spend enough time with him, that we're not real familiar with his voice.
Amen.
When the shepherd goes to that door, he calls his neighbor's sheep ain't going to come. Why? Because they've not been in the fields. They've never had their self plucked out and a wolf be out there. He never saved their lives. It may be the one that's a hobbling through there that he's had to take that thing and break its leg because it kept wandering away from the fall. They say that in the olden days that they used to do that. But they would actually have to break the legs of people from going astray and wandering off and not coming back. See, that was the good shit. I'll bet you the one who broke it won't pay them on. Yes, it closed. so thankful today that, Lord, we can come to you, and I thank you for this passage. Lord, that you use it to let us know who you are. Father, you are, Jesus, you are the only one that possesses the credentials to be called the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, the door. Lord, and I thank you for all the titles that you hold. And I thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die in my place that I might be made righteous by you. Lord, I pray over this congregation today. I hope that everyone here is in right fellowship with you. But if not, Lord, I pray this time of invitation that you would do it. God, that we call upon you to be the Savior of your Son. Lord, help us. Lord, lots of times that we get caught up in things and we forget that we don't have the relationship with the shepherd that